Welcome to the Can of Cook podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
So welcome home to the Can of Cook podcast. I am so excited today to introduce you to a really good friend and a marvelous individual as a business leader, as a husband, and as a father. I'm sure his life is not perfect like anybody else's, but he is a special friend. Chase Rackley from Little Rock, Arkansas, spent 10 years a Kennecott camper, actually was a summertime nanny for my grandkids at Kennecott, Colorado back in those days. Been to the family camp for 3 years. He's a dad to 3K Country Campers, and he is the owner and principal broker of Rackley Realty in Little Rock, has been the number one realtor in the state of Arkansas, and I'm not sure it's all because he's a good salesman. I think it's because he's a great Christian team leader. His agents love him, and he disciples folks. He disciples his agents. I know because a good buddy of mine is down there working for him, and he was floored when he found out he was going to get discipled by the boss. Chase, welcome to the Can of Cook podcast.
Man, what an incredible welcome to be given. Thank you. That's an incredible honor to hear those words from a hero. I mean, growing up, truly, you've been a legend as someone who champions a reputation of integrity and leadership. I mean, you're a leader among leaders, and the Kanakuk motto of I'm third and, you know, lead by serving, that a lot of that has come from the legacy that you've built with this camp and, you know, 10 summers where you find your friends and, you know, grow as a young man. Like, there's a lot of who I am that I owe a lot of gratitude to who you are and the way that you've built such a great structure of a great camp. And it's not just for kids anymore. It's now the family camp stuff that my whole family is getting to benefit, you know, and enjoy the culture of what Kanakuk is and what it can do to inspire, you know, greater, deeper faith and greater, deeper relationships with other Christ-centered people. So it's an honor to even get to hang out with you and do this. And I've really enjoyed the friendship that we've been able to grow, especially since being connected through Nathan Brown on the team. That's really been an exciting addition to our team. And I've appreciated what that's done for us to be able to get more connected as well.
Yeah, Chase, I'm going to pretend like you didn't say any of that, but anyway, we'll move along here.
Yeah.
But hey, as a kid, you were here for 10 summers. What kept you coming back year after year?
Yeah, I love that question. I think, like, to answer that just real honestly and practically, a lot of it is just good parents that were telling me that's what I get to do, you know? I mean, it was a great mother and a great stepdad that said, like, this is something we believe is going to be great for you. You know, you're high energy. Let's put it into a good place. And instead of just being annoying here at home, like, we're going to put you to work and they're going to have a good time, you know, getting all that energy out. And really, like, I really enjoyed having a great place to go to bed exhausted, you know, like you're able to just go as hard as you want to go. And it's an open canvas for, you know, athletic competition and, building new friendships. And, you know, there's always something fun about camp where you kind of get to be who you want to be, you know, like you're only going to be friends with these people for a week or two. And if it sticks, like, yeah, you might get to hang out again the next year or be friends outside of camp, but you can kind of come and be who you want to be and have your head on a swivel to find people who you feel like the Lord's putting in your life to pursue or enjoy. And so the camp experience for me was a gift from my parents to get to experience an incredibly healthy outlet for high energy competition and relationship building. And as a teenager, when it became more of like an actual decision, like where I'm tugging on the shirt, like, hey, I hope I still get to go to camp. You know, is this, can we keep doing this? It was especially exciting to know that I could go somewhere to like really ask the questions I was maybe not sure who else or where else to ask, you know, like about, is this Bible thing legit? Is this just like a cool kids club? Or is this like a, is this like actually real? Like, why is the Bible's right and the Quran's not? Like, you know, how do we make sense of all this? So like having a healthy place to get real with real relationship and, you know, really ask the hard questions. It was just the most fun, incredible place to grow and become who I am.
And so Chase, at what point did it all come down and make sense to you that your faith was indeed historical, scientifically backed, accurate,
yeah,
true, that Jesus was indeed historical? When did it all come together for you?
Man, absolutely. Well, I think that there was something real even early on as an 8-year-old, you know, asking God to come into your heart. Like there's something there that you don't even have to have all the logic yet to have the reality of like, I know I need something, you know, like there's something like, you know, it's just like a lot, some of it's trusting your parents and their leadership, but, you know, so I would never even want to take it away from someone who maybe doesn't even have the head knowledge yet, but they just have the faith. It's a gift. I mean, faith is a gift. And so you're able to have that without having to have, you know, 10 summers of study on apologetics and evangelism. But it was really two major moments for me. One was, I remember my stepdad committing to read the Bible every day for a year with Robert Lewis. And I think Gene Davis was a big part of that. And so they said, hey, we're going to read the Bible every day. And I remember that year was a change in our home. There was a shift in the way that our home felt. I felt like Larry even treated me a little differently after and during that season. I felt like his approach towards me was maybe a little more patient and giving of wisdom. And it was inspiring to me to be around somebody who I really looked up to that was extremely successful in the corporate world, finding extreme success in his own home by trusting the truth in scripture. And that just really was like, wow, like there may be something to this, because if someone who kind of has it all can submit himself to the truth of this book and have a life change that really affects everyone in this home and everyone around him, I might need to actually read this book too. You know, there might be something to it. And so I started reading more consistently and asking, but you know, questions and trusting as best I could, but I really had a hard time, man. It was like, I had this feeling like I was going to prove it wrong or find like, you know, I'm going to find the contradictions or something's not right about this, you know? And so I just had a lot of those questions I wrestled with. And so that comes to that second moment of being actually at K Colorado, a great time in Durango, Colorado, doing Kanakuk. There was a kid that I met, just a fellow camper, that he was reading an apologetics study Bible. And I just asked him, I was like, dude, what's that? You know, like, what is, like I've heard there's different versions, but like, I'd never heard of like an apologetics study, but like, I didn't know what that really was. And he's like, oh yeah. And he showed me, and I actually have it right there. It's on the shelf. I can show it to you, but it's an incredible, collection of ways to be able to defend your faith and like help you understand historical context a little more clearly. It basically helped you to interpret scripture as it was intended to be interpreted, remembering the original audience and, you know, a little bit of a better understanding of who wrote the scripture and who did they write it to, who wrote it, when did they write it, why did they write it, what are the timeless truths that can still be applied today. And it was very practical, and I just was like enamored with, I guess, the confidence that could come from like this mentality that like all truth is God's truth. You don't have to worry about like finding something out that actually disproves something that was a huge blessing to your family. Like it's, if you find it to be true, it's God's truth. There's nothing that is inconsistent that is true, that is inconsistent with who God is. And when you can have that confidence, you can be able to open up all of the conversation and happily engage with anyone and say, let's talk about it. Like, why do bad things happen to good people? I'm not worried about that rocking, you know, or disproving scripture and or forfeiting the ability to trust in God's word, because it's truth. And when you can trust it, there's a whole, I think it just really can significantly bless you and those around you when you can live life trusting it.
And so, Chase, what I love about your story is the way you pass the baton, both to your children and to your employees. I was fascinated when Nathan told me you were discipling your employees. I mean, you guys are selling real estate, and I'm a little bit familiar with the rat race of competition and having that profession. And yet you start off with prayer and with Bible study, and you pass the baton down the next generation. And then I love the way you do it with your children. It's like, Chase, you've got this blood of discipling everybody that you significantly come into contact with. You know, can I ask you why it's so important to you to pass the baton both to your employees and to your children?
Man, I love that. Thank you for asking that. I think we all are worthy of being given every opportunity to know God and to make him known and to enjoy him and all that he's created. And so when I have the opportunity to get to be a part of what God's doing in someone's life, like that's the blessing is to me. Like I feel like so thankful whenever I have the opportunity to connect with someone on a deeper level than something so surface. Like how boring to live life where you just talk about the weather and the sports, like gross. Like there's nothing more disinteresting to me than to live life without having real relationship. And I think what someone thinks about God is the most important thing about them. And so if I care about somebody, I should probably care to know the most important things about them. And so that's naturally my thought process when I'm engaging somebody, whether it's for business or, you know, social, whatever. I want to care about them enough to really have a real relationship and not be afraid to talk about things that are far more important than the weather and the sports. And I really think there's a part of me that feels like I want to give what was so generously given to me that I did not feel like I deserved, which was a tremendous, you know, father that discipled me as a bonus baby. You know, like my stepdad married my mom when I was maybe one or two, I'm not sure. And I was a hard kid, you know, and he just was so faithful to, I mean, he was hard on me, like, but it was generous for him to consistently, disciple me. I mean, he would take me to meet with Robert Lewis and do these men's fraternity deals where we learned about as a man, how to reject passivity and accept responsibility, lead courageously and expect God's greater reward, to be consistent, to read through scripture, to pray over business goals, not just over personal thoughts, like actually submit your business to the Lord and find success there. And so he's teaching me these things about how real this is. It's not just an idea or a cool concept. This is like real. Like God actually created the everything, and we have the opportunity to get to know him through scripture as he's introduced himself, and through the Holy Spirit, which he's invited us to get to know. I mean, it's just like, this is a real thing. It's not just like an idea. And so when I've been able to receive that like leadership from Larry, it has been a natural desire to now say, there's probably a lot of other people like me that probably feel like they didn't know where to go, or like what, you know, which direction is right. And I don't know if I even feel worthy of this type of teaching or whatever. You know, I'm excited to get to anyone who wants to ride that wave. Let's ride it. Like, let's see what God's doing. And, you know, as a family, that's, you know, we just have some simple rhythms that we try to incorporate to enjoy fostering natural conversation around, you know, who God is and what he's doing. Or, I mean, you know, there's no template for it. It's just letting the Holy Spirit do the work and just trying to be a good listener to know when's the right time to say what. And I mean, I just am so thankful for the leadership that was given to me. And I just try to carry the baton, because it was such a blessing to me, and I hope it could be a blessing to others.
It's such a great story. Gosh, it's such a great story of adoption, and then so well passing the baton of faith. I've got to ask you, because you send your kids to K-Country, and just, you know, what's the value of camp every summer that sort of, I don't know, hitchhikes along and co-labors with you in that disciple making process?
Yeah. Great question. So I'd love to even share that my wife did not grow up going to Kanakuk. And so it was our first ability to kind of engage Kanakuk back again as an adult, now married with three kids, was family camp. And I just loved the moment where we pulled up to Kanakuk, Ke Kauai, for the first time as a family, windows rolled down, and the counselors are just fired up, and the kids are just like, yeah, like this is exciting. Music's bumping, lyrics are all God honoring. It's just like an incredible reception. It's a big greeting and a big welcome to your new friends, to your new place that we're going to get to party and have a lot of fun. And that just, that whole energy, like even from the entrance, Casey looks at me and she's like, I see where this comes from. Like, this is you, this is your place. Like, this is, I'm loving this. And I love this already for me, for our family. It's a natural, like when you experience like God honoring culture that is like committed to that I'm third mentality, like we're making sure that you know your love. Like, we want to bring the energy, and that is like very contagious. And so just by doing that, we naturally brought a lot of those experiences that we enjoyed having at Kanakuk, we brought that home. And so even like the birthday bee, which is a fun, silly thing they do there, where you like do the ice cream and cake song and you get smashed ice cream in your face and you do this dance and all that. Like, we do that here at our house now with the djembe. Like, we're just bumping around doing, we put the song on the speakers, and like, that's like a very tangible musical example of like what we're trying to do overall, which is bring home those best practices from the camp experience. Because at the end of the day, it's really not about the camp. It has almost nothing to do with the camp as much as it is the Holy Spirit and the like true Christ-centered culture. Like, we're just trying to bring Christ into the home. And that is something that should elevate and inspire for you to be the best version of yourself and the best energy you can possibly bring to yourself and to your family. And so, yeah, just being Kanakuk, Kauai, that like getting to have that, that was so fun. And then it was like, okay, I want the kids to get to experience kind of like what I did, which is where you get to kind of go and be, you know, on your own and make new friends, and you're kind of do your own camp. And so there, that's when the challenge to say, yeah, let's do the K-Country thing. And of course, it's just the most fun. Like, they just love it. It's exciting to know that we're able to send them off to a camp, and we get to now have some wonderful alone time, which should not be overlooked. to enjoy the time alone with your wife while your kids are at knowing that they're being wonderfully loved on and have the most fun. We get to have our own time, and that's great. And then when they come back, like it's the same. It's like they're bringing that energy. You can just tell like they've learned a lot. They've worked hard. They've played hard. It's easy to want to send your kids to a great camp where they're having the most fun. They're learning a lot of great things, and it's just a win-win-win.
And so, Chase, I know there's a lot of family folks listening to us today, a lot of moms and dads listening to us today, but with your joyful energy that you, it's just all over you, it's so contagious. What are your core values in raising your kids in your home? I'm curious. I'm sure a lot of other parents are curious.
I love that question. So I do have what we call our Rackley rules, and we've got some that are for work and some that are for home. And, you know, the ones that are for home are pretty practical. And they can be kind of overlapped with home and family, but we like to say, you know, first rule is integrity over income, people over profit. So like that's mostly business, but we, you know, even just from, I want to make sure that's clear. Like, hey, we want to make sure we're a family that who we are while no one's watching is important to us. Like we want to be winners in the spotlight and while no one's watching as best we possibly can be. We'll also say courage over comfort. We're not here living life to be as comfortable as possible. We want to actually, you know, conquer the comfort and do hard things. And, we also like to say never keep a compliment a secret. And so if you've got something that you like about somebody or are encouraged by something about someone, tell them, like give the encouragement that maybe the Holy Spirit whispering to you, like something that he wants to use you to be the encouragement to that person and affirm what God's doing in their life, or just to tell them that they have a cool shirt. I mean, whatever, just never keep a compliment a secret. One of our biggest family rules, is extreme people need extreme boundaries. And that was an encouragement from my friend Tanner Bizet, who's our pastor here in West Little Rock at New Life Church. He and I were just talking about alcohol and, you know, just trying to decide like what would be a healthy habit around that for me? Like what would it look like to maybe have some more, you know, like some boundaries or whatever. And he was like, extreme people need extreme boundaries. I just think maybe you shouldn't drink again. I was like, okay. And I definitely kept drinking for a little bit, but then it became clear that after really wrestling with the Lord about it and talking with my brother Chandler, kind of just like that same challenge of like, you know, if you want to do things big, don't do the things that you can't do big, just don't do it, you know? And so that was probably about 4 years ago, that my brother kind of gave that nail in the coffin of like, let's try this. Why don't you just say, let's just not drink, you know? And I said, okay, I'm going to fast from drinking indefinitely. And it's been a great, it has blessed me and my family significantly. And I had no idea even how big of a blessing that would be to just take one less thing, to have one less thing to worry about. I don't have to worry about drinking too much at that event, or, you know, it saves money. It makes you look better physically. It's been a huge blessing to me and to my family to say alcohol just doesn't need to be a part of my life. And so, yeah, that's the encouragement is extreme people need extreme boundaries. And that's something I try to really live by. And we got a few other, you know, Rackley rules for the family, but I don't want to bore you with all of them, but they're important to me. And a lot of them came from, you know, my grandma and my mom, and just kind of been fine tuned and reworded to be memorable and something we can have stick with us so we can carry it on for generations, hopefully.
Chase, we could talk for hours. I could listen to you for hours. I love just the gift of wisdom that God's given you in so many ways, as evidenced in your family and your beautiful company that you built. But I would like to do one thing before we close. Would you just roll off the Rackley rules without, you know, I mean, you've described those that are dearest to your heart, but could you just roll through whatever there are, 6 or 8 or 9 of them? I'm sure you have them memorized.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got prize people over profit, schedule what we do and do what we schedule, give honor to gain honor, the curious conquer, which is kind of the encouragement, just be curious, stay curious, because the most interested person is often the most interesting person. Short and sweet about me, tall and true about you. Every contact counts. Promise true and wow them too. Appreciate the pressure because pressure makes diamonds. Extreme ownership and excellence in every effort. Those are our top 10 Rackley rules for the workplace.
Those are really good. Those are really, really good. And so are you, Chase. I'm thrilled that we had this time together. Just absolutely thrilled. The time has zipped by. Just listen to you tell your story, and I appreciate you, and thanks for being a good Kanakuk partner and a good Kanakuk dad. Chase, would you close in prayer and just pray as you wish for our listening audience, you know, some you know and so many you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'd be honored. I'll pray for us. God, thank you so much for Kanakuk Camps, Kanakuk Ministries. We know it's so much bigger than camp these days. It is doing kids across America. It's doing family camp. It's doing camp outs. It's doing business leadership development. It's doing traveling across the world. It is incredible the way that you have blessed this ministry, and it's clear it's blessed to be a blessing. And it has been an incredible blessing to me and to my family. So I just want to say thank you, God, for Joe White and the leadership that he has brought and the way that they have been faithful to stay true to you and your calling over their life, to lead by example, to be servant-hearted leaders. And I know that excellence inspires people. And so I just ask that people would continue to be more and more inspired by the leadership at the Kanakuk Ministries to be the best version of themselves with your help for your glory and your purpose. And we ask all these things, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit kanakukpodcast.com. And for more information about Kanakuk, you can visit kanakuk.com.